Exodus chapter 4. And our text for today is at verse 1. Exodus 4 and verse 1. And Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, the Lord has not appeared unto thee." Just one of the excuses that Moses presented to the Lord when the Lord sent him to bring Israel out of Egypt. God had appeared unto Moses and made his will known unto him, as we read in chapter 3 and verse 10. God said to Moses, "Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." Evidently, Moses was aware of God's will for him. He was aware of that God's will for him many years before. Indeed, 40 years before. Because, you recall in our study, we saw there in Acts chapter 7 how Moses took it upon himself to go and visit his people, the Israelites, and saw one man there being beaten by an Egyptian, and Moses slew the Egyptian and buried him in the sand. And Moses believed that the children of Israel would accept him there and then as their deliverer. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. Acts 7 and verse 25. So he knew what God's will was for his life 40 years before. So Moses knew that God by his hand would deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. Now it's 40 years later. God appears to Moses and tells him, "Moses, now is the time to go and deliver Israel." And what follows is a list of excuses from Moses as to why he shouldn't go and to why he couldn't go. In fact, Moses presents to the Lord 5 excuses. 5 reasons in his mind why he couldn't go and do God's will. God had made his will known unto Moses, and Moses raises these excuses why he couldn't do God's will. It's a familiar story, isn't it? For when God presents to his people opportunities to serve him, then they come forth with excuses. "Oh, I couldn't do this," or "I couldn't do that," or "I couldn't do the other thing." They bring up excuses why they cannot do God's bidding. 5 times Moses presented excuses to the Lord. His first excuse had to do with, first of all, his weakness. Chapter 3, verse 11. Moses said unto God, "Who am I that I should go on to Pharaoh?" And so Moses felt his weakness. He says, "Well, who am I to go to king of Egypt?" And then his next excuse had to do with his witness. chapter 3, verse 13. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? There's another excuse that had to do with his witness. When God told him that he'd go to Israel, to Pharaoh, and speak to Pharaoh, and tell Pharaoh to let the children of Israel go, Moses said, Well, what will I say? I don't know what to say. There's another excuse. You look there, we commenced our reading today, chapter 4, verse 1. This had to do, as it were, with his worry. And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And so there's Moses, and he's worried that the children of Israel will not believe him, and will say, Oh, the God didn't appear unto you at all. The third excuse. Look there at chapter 4 and verse 10. This has to do with his words. His words, verse 10. Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since that thou hast spoken unto thy servant. But I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. It has to do with his words. But I can speak. His fourth excuse. Now we come to verse 13 of chapter 4. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. In other words, here was his fifth excuse, had to do with Moses' will, the will of Moses, not the will of God, the will of Moses. And what was the will of Moses? Lord, send somebody else. That's what he said. That's what those words mean. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. Send somebody else. Five excuses that Moses gave to the Lord. Now we know that five in the Bible is the number of grace. But you look at Moses at this stage and time in his life, and unfortunately, there was a great lack of grace on the part of God's servant. Instead of saying, well, by God's grace, I will do that. By God's grace, I will go and bring Israel out of Egypt. But no, he didn't. He made all these excuses, one after another. So when we are presented with opportunities to do something for the Lord, and we're not speaking necessarily about going to the mission field, or about going into the ministry, or going into full-time service, there's an abundance for us all to do. And when the Lord challenges us about doing something for him, well, he has done so much for us. Should we not say with the little chorus, I'll do it all for Jesus. I'll do it all for Jesus. Because he's done so much for me. Instead, Moses came up with all these excuses, five of them. Why didn't Moses say with Paul? Paul told the Philippians 4, in verse 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Instead of taking each one of these excuses individually today, I want to look at them collectively. Because whether Moses told the Lord, or whatever he told the Lord, all meant the same thing. He had five different excuses, but they all meant the same thing. He didn't want to go. He didn't want to do God's will. He didn't want to do God's bidding. And they ended up saying, Lord, send somebody else. Has God ever challenged you about doing something for him? After all, we've only one life. Soon be passed. Only what's done for Jesus will last. We don't want to appear before the Lord on that great day with nothing, having done nothing for the Lord in the life that he has given to us. I want to look then at the excuses that Moses presented to the Lord. And we see with regard to these excuses, Moses and his problems. Moses and his problems. Instead of bowing in wonderment and gratitude at the condescension of the Almighty in choosing to employ this man in such an important task, Moses came up with excuses. It's always an honor to serve God. That God would condescend to choose a man or a woman to serve him. And Moses, he was chosen, but when Moses received the call of God, he had all the excuses, and he saw all the problems. In each of the excuses, we see, first of all, his focus. You look at each of the excuses that Moses brought before the Lord, as we have listed them this morning, and you will find there where Moses' focus was. Look at verse 11 of chapter 3. Verse 11, Moses said unto God, Who am I? That should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt. There's his focus. Verse 13 of the same chapter, Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and at the end of the verse he says, What shall I say unto them? You see where his focus was? It's on himself. He's looking at himself. Chapter 4, verse 1, and Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. See, focuses on self again. Verse 10 of the chapter 4. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent. Verse 13. He said, O my Lord, send I, pray thee. There's his focus. On each occasion, the focus of Moses was upon himself. His focus was on him and what he couldn't do. His focus should have been upon God and what God can do. But Moses focused on himself. So after the Almighty reveals himself to his servant, is that not where his focus should have been? Upon the Lord. But then isn't that typically what happens? When we're challenged about doing something for the Lord, what comes up before us are the I's and the my's and myself. What can I do? When our eyes ought to be upon the Lord. Whatever God calls us to do, or sends us to do, our eyes should be on God. In a great gathering of the enemies of Israel and Judah came together to fight against Judah. We read there about Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20. 2 Chronicles 20, and there in verse 12. O our God, will thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Listen. Neither know we what to do, but eyes are upon thee. There's the difference. Jehoshaphat had his eyes upon the Lord. Jehoshaphat told the Lord, neither know what we are to do. He felt his weakness. But he didn't come up to the Lord with a list of excuses. Instead, he said, Lord, our eyes are upon thee. Moses, unfortunately, didn't lift his eyes high enough. Moses had his eyes on himself. Moses should have lifted up his eyes and put his eyes upon God. After all, there is nothing that God cannot do. His focus, nor his faith, was in the God of heaven. Thus, his excuses. In Psalm 123, we read these words. Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of the servant look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God, until that he have mercy upon us. Our eyes are on God. And when we are asked to do something, or God challenges us, let's lift up our eyes to the Lord. And say again with Paul, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. You have his focus. Notice something else in those excuses. His failure. When you examine all the excuses that Moses presented to God, there's something missing. Not once did he pray about the matter. Not once did he mention prayer. He never mentioned prayer at all. And surely when God challenges us and speaks to us and gives us direction as to what he wants us to do,
surely prayer would be the first response. We mentioned Jehoshaphat there. That's what Jehoshaphat did. When the enemy came against Judah, what did Jehoshaphat do? The first thing he did was to call for a prayer meeting. We read his words, "Neither know what we want to do, but our eyes are upon thee." He had a prayer meeting. But Moses did not pray. Instead of offering prayer to God, he offered excuses. Why he couldn't do this and why he couldn't do that. You recall, when the Lord, at the end of his earthly ministry, sent his disciples out to be witnesses unto him in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and on to the uttermost parts of the earth. That was a daunting task. "Ye shall be witnesses unto me." Jerusalem. Home. It's the difficult place. Judea, that's the dangerous place. And even the uttermost parts of the world, the distance place. How were they going to do that? Well, do you know what they did? You turn to Acts chapter 1, I know it's a familiar portion, but we follow the footsteps of the disciples. And the Lord returns to heaven. And we read then in verse 12. Acts 1 verse 12. "Then returned they unto Jerusalem." Turned unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a 7 days' journey. "And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room. Old Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James." What did they do? Verse 14. "These all continued with one accord in prayer." First thing they did. They didn't do anything else when they returned to Jerusalem. They prayed. They prayed, no doubt, about the matter, about what God had told them to do. They prayed, of course, waiting for the Holy Ghost to come upon them and give them the power to do the work. But the point is, they prayed. When God commissioned them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." Something they could not have done of themselves. They needed God's help. And that's what they did. And they got that help when the Holy Ghost came upon them. So when you and I are asked or challenged to do something for God, and we feel our own inadequacy and our own weakness, let us go to the throne of grace, where we'll obtain help and find grace in our time of need. Instead of praying, "Lord, help me," Moses basically said, "Lord, not me." He didn't pray at all. Oh, let us not be like Moses and come up with excuses when the Lord challenges us. Instead, when challenged by God through his word to do something for him, then let us pray, "Lord, give me the strength and give me the grace to carry out thy orders. I'll do it for thee." I'll do it. I'll go in thy name out of love for the Lord. You remember how Mary came and anointed the Lord with a very precious and costly ointment, and there was an immediate outcry amongst the disciples, led by Judas, of course. Oh, what a waste! This could have been sold and given to the poor. Not that Judas cared anything about the poor. I like what the Lord said to the disciples. He said, let her alone. She hath done what she could. The Lord commanded Mary and said, let her alone. She hath done what she could. And that tells me that's all the Lord expects from us, to do what we can. As well as Moses and his focus and his failure, we have his forgetfulness. Moses was so focused on self and presenting his excuses that he became very forgetful. So what did he forget in presenting these excuses? Well, you look at chapter 3 and verse 12. And he said, certainly I will be with thee. That. Whenever Moses brought forth to the Lord his first excuse, Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? He said that as God said, certainly I will be with thee. That should have been enough. He forgot about the Lord's presence. The Lord says, I'll be with thee. And he said, certainly I will be with thee. So Moses, you can go forth without a doubt in your mind. I will be with thee. Certainly I'll be with thee. He forgot about God's presence, that God would be with him. He forgot about God's person. But we read in the verse 14 when Moses said, what shall I say unto them? Verse 14, God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. You can go and you can tell them, Jehovah sent you. Moses could go forth, certain of the Lord's presence, certain that he was going to serve the person of God, the great I am. What was he afraid of? Why all the excuses? He's serving the great I am, but he forgot all that. Forgot the Lord's presence, he forgot the Lord's person, and he forgot about the Lord's promises. Chapter 3, verse 12 again. And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. Listen, when thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt. There's a promise. God tells Moses, when thou hast brought the people out of Egypt. In other words, Moses, you go and you will bring them out. It wouldn't be a case of Moses going and wondering, will I be able to bring them out? No, God said, you'll bring them out. That's a promise. Look again at the verse 17. And I have said, I will bring you up out of affliction of Egypt. I will do it. Moses could have gone forth resting on the I wills of God. And no man no power on earth, no power in hell can hinder and stop and frustrate the I wills of Jehovah. And so Moses forgot about God's presence. Certainly I will be with thee. He forgot about God's person. I am that I am. He forgot about God's promise. Ye will bring them out. And he forgot about God's power. Chapter 3 and verse 20. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof, and after that he will let you go. I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when ye go out, ye shall not go out empty. Moses forgot about God's power. After all, he was going in the name of the great I Am, the Lord God Jehovah. And when we serve the Lord and we go forth in his name, listen, we can be certain the Lord will go with us. And when we go in his name, we know we're going in the name of the great I Am. And when we go in his name, we know that we go with his promises. If you go forth bearing precious seed, ye shall doubtless come again, bringing your sheaves with you. Because your labor, Paul says, is not in vain in the Lord. There's a promise. And when we go forth, we can go forth resting in the power of God. With God, with God, with God, all things are possible. Praise the Lord. When God asks us to do something, when God challenges us about serving him, we have his presence. We have his person, we have his promises, and we have his power. Does that not leave out excuses? There's no room for excuses in the light of what God told Moses. You have Moses and his problems. Then you have Moses and his people. God told Moses who he was to bring out of Egypt. Chapter 3, verse 10. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh that thou mayest bring forth my people. And those who God called my people, in chapter 1 of Exodus, in verse 11, we read there, and it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren. So God's people were his brethren. His brethren, he looked upon them as his brethren. And God has sent Moses out to deliver God's people, to deliver his brethren. Think of that. To deliver his own brethren out of the bondage of Egypt. And he made excuses why he shouldn't go. Acts 7 verse 23 we read, and when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. That was 40 years before. You think of this. 40 years before. Moses was full of zeal because it came into his heart to go and visit his brethren. And he saw one of his brethren being beaten by an Egyptian. And Moses stood up for him. And as we've already read those words in Acts 7, the testimony of Stephen, Moses went out believing that the children of Israel would accept him as their deliverer. He was full of zeal. He was going out single-handed to deliver Israel. Now it's 40 years later. He's now 80 years of age. He's been in the wilderness. He's been on the backside of the desert, caring for his father-in-law's flocks. 40 years later, he's now 80 years of age. And you say, Moses, what has happened to your zeal? You didn't make any excuses before, 40 years earlier. It came into your heart to go and visit your brethren, and off you went alone. Now God has come with all these promises of his presence and his power. And yet you make excuses. Moses, what has happened to you? Where's your zeal? Where's your love now for your brethren? Why are you so reluctant to go and bring your brethren out? We can maybe examine our own lives. What were we years ago? What was our zeal like years ago? Is it the same? Or has our zeal evaporated? Do we have the same love for our brethren according to the flesh? Do we want to see them saved the way we did years ago? What happened to Moses over those 40 years? There was Moses and all his excuses. And we would say to Moses, first of all, Moses, there's a cause. And remind them about the cause. What was the cause? The rescue, the deliverance of the children of Israel. Moses' own brethren, that's the cause. Instead of a burden for his brethren, all he had were excuses. Moses, what about the cause? He used to have a burden. He used to be zealous for the Lord and for his brethren. It came into his heart. It was in his heart. They say, Moses, what has happened to you? Remember how David challenged his brethren and Israel when there was that standoff between Israel and Goliath, you remember? And none of the Israelites were brave enough to go over and challenge Goliath. There they all stood looking at him across the valley. David's father sent him to the battlefield to inquire about how the battle was going, and his brother saw him. Basically told him, "Way home, David. Way and look after your sheep." What did David say to them? "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" There was a cause, all right. How could this giant of Gath stand there and defy the armies of Israel and laugh at them? David says, There's a cause here. And we know what happened. He went out in the Lord's name and conquered Goliath. Because he believed in a cause. Moses, all he could come up with were excuses. Are we not involved in a cause as well? What do we often sing? Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. Snatch them in pity or sin in the grave. Weep o'er the erring one. Lift up the fallen. Tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. There's the cause. Winning the lost. Winning those of our own kith and kin. Winning those who are around us. Winning those in the workplace. Those in our neighborhood. That's the cause. Is there not a cause? There was a cause, and yet all Moses could produce were excuse after excuse after excuse. As well as the cause, there was the contrary. Here the children of Israel were suffering under the cruel, heavy hand of the Egyptian taskmasters. And the Lord told Moses that he was going to deliver them out of their hand and out of Egypt. And we read in chapter 3 and verse 7, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them out of the land onto what? A good land, and a large, onto a land flowing with milk and honey. God told Moses that. And you would have thought, that would have challenged Moses. Well, that would be good to get them out from under the Egyptians, and get them into this land, this good land, this large land, this land flowing with milk and honey. But no. He just presented his excuses. We know that the promised land is a type of heaven. A very loose type at that. But nevertheless, we talk about heaven being the promised land. And you would think Moses would have wanted to get his people into the promised land. Don't we want to get our people into the promised land? Into glory. I think it was C.H. Spurgeon who said, I'm going to heaven. And I want to bring as many people with me as I can. That was his cause. He wanted to bring others with him. We're going home to glory soon. To see the city bright. To walk the golden streets of heaven. And bask in God's own light. But some of you are out of Christ. And held by many a snare. We cannot leave you lost and alone. We want you over there. Cannot leave you lost and alone. We want you over there. We want you. Why not come with us and we will do you good. You know how I love Samuel Rutherford. And Ann Ross Cousin wrote that great hymn based on his sayings. And part of one of the verses, quoting Rutherford's words in that hymn, Emmanuel's Lamb, Rutherford said, oh, if one soul from Anworth, where he ministered in northern Scotland, oh, if one soul from Anworth should meet me at God's right hand, my heaven will be two heavens in Emmanuel's land. In other words, wrote Rutherford was saying, if I lead one soul to Christ, and that one soul I see in glory, my heaven will be two heavens. If one soul from Anworth, if one soul from Port Hope, if one soul from Coburg, if one soul should meet me at God's right hand, my heaven will be two heavens in Emmanuel's land. The cause, the country. And then Moses received the command, come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Verse 10, chapter 3. Come now. But he also told him when he wanted him to begin that great work. He told him when he wanted Moses to go to Pharaoh. He told him, not only said, come now, but that's followed by, go. Chapter 3, verse 16. And that's followed in chapter 4, verse 12. Now therefore, go. And again in Exodus 4, verse 19. Go, return unto Egypt. You get the message. Moses, it's time to go, to do your job. No dilly-dally, no wasting time. The time has come. Need to go. Go now. And when God tells us, when God speaks to us about doing a work for Him, whatever it is and whatever level that service is, whether it's local or further afield, when God says, go, that's not coming up with excuses why we shouldn't go. The last place, and finally and briefly, we have Moses and his proposal. In chapter 4, in verse 12, as we've already noted it, now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. In other words, send somebody else. That was his proposal. In the face of God's command, in the face of God's call, in the face of God choosing him, in the face of God commissioning him, Moses comes up with his own proposal. Send somebody else. But God hadn't chosen anybody else. God had chosen Moses. And there are works to be done. And God chose his people to do those works. Maybe nobody else can do them. But God chooses the person he wants to do that job. It was his decision. Moses' decision. Then you have God's decision. Verse 14. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And those are strong words there in the original, in that verse 14. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. You talk about kindling a fire. Well, the Lord's anger was kindled like a fire against Moses. After all, the Lord had told Moses and how he'd be with them, and told him he would have his power, and he'd be serving the great I Am. Moses came up with all those excuses. What is all this to do? Are we ready to go? You're probably familiar, perhaps, with that hymn that I came across there some time ago, written by Edith Margaret Clarkson, Canadian lady, who wanted to go to the mission field. Because of health problems, she wasn't able to. She became a teacher and went up north. While she was there, she was felt very much alone. There were very few Christians in the area. And one night she was reading God's Word, John 20, where the Lord spoke to the disciples, and he said to the disciples, "So send I you." And Edith Clarkson sat down and wrote a hymn. It's been described as the greatest missionary hymn of the 20th century. And I believe that. Let me read one verse. "So send I you to labor unrewarded, to serve unpaid, unloved, unsought, unknown, to bear rebuke, to suffer sorrow and scoffing. So send I you to toil for me alone. As the Father has sent me," Christ said, "so send I you." There was a woman prepared to serve alone. She didn't make any excuses. She went and did God's bidding. She died 30 years ago and buried in Toronto. What a testimony she left behind. So send I you. Let us go at the Lord's bidding too. Whatever he has asked us to do. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. God and Father, we bow humbly before thee again in this name. O Lord, Lord, thy word is we think, Lord, of that moment when the Lord spoke to Moses and said, "What is that in thine hand?" And how that rod was used mightily for God. Lord, whatever we have in our hands today, may we use it to the glory of God. And if the Lord has spoken to us in the past or even now, may we hear and heed his voice and do his bidding. No excuses. Lord, we bless thee for all who have gathered in thy house today, and now as we part the one from the other, be with us as we leave God's house. Grant us all travelling mercy. And O Lord, bless tonight again and the evening service in thy will, as we can look at Christ, the great I Am. I may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the Holy Spirit, rise in with and until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away. Amen.